Yeah. All right. So, guys, I just wanted to introduce Brian, but before I do, I just want to reference this as I had nobody to show me success in my life. So most of the things I've done in life, I haven't had somebody to mentor me or to hold me accountable for my level of success, whatever level I've achieved. Now, Brian, you're going to get on here. You're going to obviously discuss the topics we talked about, what you're up to, and then also where do you see it going from there. All right, so, Brian, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'll try to lay it down.
All right, go for it.
I guess I should start. Well, you asked me why earlier.
Yeah.
I guess I should chalk that up to my big brother. My big brother, I went to him for everything. He had sickle cell, bad kidneys, to the point where he needed dialysis. He was my rock, though. Man, when I was unsure about life and was depressed, he was my go-to.
Mm-hmm.
The question I had to ask myself to stay grounded was, how can the pain that I'm experiencing from losing him right now work for other people and do good in the world? The only thing I had to keep myself from using the bottle or smoking myself into oblivion was to sit here and talk to you guys about women, masculinity, and how to get yourself out of an emotional rut. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that matters to me.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great starting point. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Why are you on this channel? I got that. Tell us who you are now. And we can always go reference your past, but who are you now for the audience to know?
Well, you know, just not to go back into the past, but I'm the best of a bad situation, man. I come from the hood, Baltimore, Maryland, and it's not a good neighborhood where I grew up in. Right now, I moved from that environment. I'm 26 years old. I'm getting new experiences, and I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. I'm here to tell you what you must do to transform your life. You know, because I'm actually doing it. It's like, I'm 26. What do I know? I would much rather tell a person what I'm doing than to, like, read a lot of books and watch YouTube videos and basically advise somebody on what to do.
Mm-hmm. So tell us right now, what has been working for you in your situation? I know you talked a little bit about the emotional roller coaster stuff that's been going on in your life. How do you handle that?
Yeah, I'll touch on that a bit.
Yeah.
So for me, I made a big transition when I changed my mind state. I went from a scarcity mind state to an abundance mind state. And an abundance mind state is basically, I mean, scarcity is basically, you know, poor and detriment and, you know, thinking, you know, negative thoughts. I had to, you know, weigh my thoughts. And basically, I went to an abundance mind state, man. So I feel like I'm at the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
The starting point is, the finish line is not an abundance mind state. That's just the starting point.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to lead you to wealth. And, you know, riches. I was poor, man. I was needy out here seeking. I was totally messed up, man. Seeking validation. Didn't know how to get women. And I guess to answer your question, my purpose is to pull as many people out of the matrix as I possibly can. That's what I want to help others do. I've been seeing people doing it. It's a whole movement out here. We got Tom Billiard. And he's doing it, and motivational speakers. They're just trying to pull people out of the matrix, man. Show them it's a better life out here, and we got to get out. You got to travel. You got to experience new things. You got to invest.
Mm-hmm.
Invest financially as well as mentally. You know,
mm-hmm.
read books. And so that's all I'm trying to do, man.
So what kind of validation would you say would be social validation for somebody like yourself or me?
Okay, so,
tell me about it. Yeah, I know. But you were seeking validation from people, right? So tell me how you came about that.
I'm tall, dark, handsome, 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to work for like muscles or anything. You know, I was born with it, and so you know, I don't know the struggle, and so I'm going out here all lackadaisically, you know, inexperienced. I'm thinking it's gonna be all fun and games, but everybody got some level of work. You got to put in work to get what you want, and basically, you know, I got a couple of awards, the big trophy, best top best speaker, communication awards, principal award in high school, and you know, most likely to succeed. But you know, I was basically what messed me up was when I would try to rest on my loins. You know, it's like when you look to be accepted and you expect to be treated a certain way. A perfect example of this is when you step into a party and you think you need to be in a cool spot with people whose party it is, who's actually throwing a party.
Yeah.
And where is that now? The kitchen? That's the cool spot? I wanted to be in the kitchen all the time, you know?
Cooking?
And this, that's where the games go down, man. And basically, validation is needed.
Right.
Just because of your ego.
Right.
You see, the problem is with beta males is that...
Tell me about this beta male, because I know you sent me a message
now. So tell me about this beta male. You sent me a message about it. I just didn't understand. Tell me.
Well, you know, beta men, they are not confident. They're not confident because they're not confident.
Right.
Like I told you, I thought...
Right.
I thought just because I was tall, dark, and handsome, I didn't have to have any skills,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get women or whatever. I wasn't confident. And so thus, I had this false confidence in my ego.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see right through that. Beta males basically seek validation from other people, especially beautiful women, just to feel accepted.
Really?
For her to say, yeah, you're good enough. I'll date you.
But so you have no way of knowing any feedback. If you actually are good enough, you just feel like it because she's making you feel like it.
Exactly. It's coming from a needy desperation state. I want to be like the sun. We need to be like the sun. We need to give up. The sun doesn't ask for anything in return. It just gives and gives energy,
yeah.
heat, sunlight, gives light. And it doesn't ask for anything in return. I was a taker and not a giver.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be with a beautiful woman and have her
give you
constantly remind me that I'm good enough. Like, she was a guy.
So you were a taker. And you had a dime for a chick. Tell me about that.
Man, the way I got her was I was at my best, man. I was doing some shit that I didn't think. But excuse me, can I say shit? I'm sorry, can't say that.
I mean, it's all go. There's no censorship right here.
Okay. All right.
You say what you need to say.
So the way I got her was, it was this guy. And he was crying about, we were in Morgan State University.
Yeah.
And it was orientation. And he was talking about how he needed college so much and how he needed to be the man in the family and how his grandmother raised him and how she got sick with cancer and how basically like the whole sob story. And people were actually crying in the classroom. And I looked over to this girl. I call her Kate. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Kate. And I said, I didn't say anything. I just looked at her. I gave her this look. And I, like, raised my eyebrows, gave her a head nod. I said, you know, Kate, like, what's up? Like, what's up with these people around here? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He started smiling. Boom. Class ended. I approached her. I said, hi, my name is Brian. He was pretty quiet. And I didn't put it to him because, like, I never noticed it. Like, he was a dime, man. I mean, a dime piece. And
a true 10.
Before then, Yeah, a true sense. She's a nonsense. And I was, before then, I was just going off my looks. I saw Dark Handsome naturally. I never knew any body language or, you know, how, you know, posture, signs of weakness, like slouching. Or, you know, I just showed confidence in that moment because I was being myself. I was a clown, man. This guy crying about his grandmother's dying. It sounds terrible now, but like in the moment, I was just like arrogant. I was like, "What's up? What is going on?" And she liked that. She liked that cockiness, that confidence.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got her, man. I was with her for about 2 years.
And you said you took more from her than you gave, and you wanted to be like the son. So tell me about that.
Long story short, man, I ain't gonna hold you.
You good?
All we did was have sex. All we did was have sex, man, and...
Was it meaningful to you, or it was pointless?
Oh, it was meaningful for me. I was a taker. All I did, every time we were together, we were having sex. Multiple times a day, she would come into my house, damn near spend the night, and Every moment, every chance I got, man, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm with this beautiful woman. I felt so lucky to be inside of her and just to be having sexual relations with that woman. And she didn't.
Did you guys go any further than that?
Say what?
Did you take it further than that kind of a relationship, or you just enjoying that in the moment?
It was in the moment, but you see, a man can have, there's two ways you can have a relationship with a woman. You can have a connection. You can have a sexual connection. You can totally have a sexual connection. And you can, like, not talk or anything. Just all y'all have is sex.
Yeah.
And then you can have a mental connection. Like, basically, like, you know, she talks to you, she's your friend first. You know, she wasn't my friend. She was my girl, you know. We had sex.
Okay.
She wasn't my friend at all.
Okay. And I agree with that, but I would also add, you can also be very in tune psychologically. Like, she understands your past and where you're headed. And then she wants to either build you or not. And some chicks ain't going to build you. They're going to take more from you than you're going to give them. And I realize some of that is parasitic in the relationship because there is a give and a take. But like, how much are you willing to give to get what you want? You know what I mean?
100%, man. You can't go in 30%, man.
Right.
You can't go in 30 and expect to get 90.
Right.
You got to devote. You got to be equal. There's no such thing as something for nothing.
Right, and a lot of guys, I don't know if you watch a lot of Tyler Perry movies and stuff, but he kind of flips.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he flips the script on what women think of men because he acts like a woman, and they love him for that. They validate him as Medea, right? That's his identity or his alter ego or whatever you want to call it, right? Now, my thing is to that if he's validated that side of society or men having a feminine side, why can't we accept women having a masculine side? Or is that unattractive? Tell me about it.
It's not that you can't accept it. It's everything, you gotta realize that everything is you know, everything is made to break us up. We got the has the have not, the ups, the downs. We have the 1% and then the rest of the people. We have, I'm going to tell you, a wise man by the name of Daquan Lawrence once said that, you know Daquan.
Sort of, but tell me, what did he say?
He said, there is no way, and these are his words, he says, there is no way in hell. Well, there's no fucking way that you can perpetuate xenophobia, homosexuality, colorism, and then want to complain about racism. And so we kind of be breaking people up. We like, oh, it's okay for a man to wear drag or dress like a woman, and then it's not okay for a woman to, you know, strap on a strap.
All right.
It's just people who's going to accept it and people who are not.
All right. So moving on from that, what do you feel the social conditioning has done to people in America or in your environment or to you, to be more specific?
Well, everything is either up or down.
Okay.
Take coffee or TV,
okay,
for instance. It's either overstimulating you,
uh-huh,
or understimulating you. Is that a very low vibration,
right,
opposite energy?
Right.
In one action movie at nighttime, you will be missing sleep because it's too hype. If the TV is like that, then imagine Instagram, Facebook, or, you know, President Donald Trump makes one tweet and people just go bonkers.
Right.
We are so badly socially conditioned to the point where the reading a book will put you to sleep. Before I started reading seriously,
yeah,
I could barely keep my eyes open. They were getting heavy just after a few pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to develop resistance to that. And a book is for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm catching what you're catching, Jack.
I'm kind of in a cold room, but go ahead.
A book is meant to be neutral. It's a fucking book, man.
Right.
And it's not no low vibration or high vibration. It's not like a lullaby.
It's a medium.
It's a book.
It's a medium, if we can call
it
that. Because
exactly.
I feel as though
you can
paint words.
Rare that you find somebody neutral.
Yeah.
It's rare that you find something neutral out here because everything is either up or down.
Right.
Driving.
Right.
Too fast. Need a sports car. Or
right.
Too slow.
Right.
Even your lights in the house. You got those sun lights, like the wattage is up. It's like sunlight. It keeps you up. And you got to get the dim one.
Yeah.
So you can go to sleep at night.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense in terms of like daylight lights. But I sleep with anything. Like I sleep in the dark, in the light, on the floor, in the cold, in the hot. But the thing is, I got used to the energy and vibration emitted by the environment around me. So it does faze me. So I'm very internally motivated. And I was going to ask you leading up to that after the social conditioning, because I can kind of understand what you're saying, because a lot of people are told to go left and right, or how high can you jump? And they just jump. Or they just feel. And they have no sort of control over their feelings. But yet, I can say this, the U.S. president is richer than 99% of U.S. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Is that a reality?
Is that
a reality?
No, it's a reality. It's totally not fair.
And that's what I ask myself sometimes, because he doesn't need to be validated, but he wants that. He wants to generate a reaction from you. And if some people are good at noticing that they can get you to react, oh boy, they can get paid for it.
Yeah.
They can monetize.
President Donald Trump is good for that.
Yeah.
One of the running mates, I forget his name, but he says that there should be no billionaires, multi-billionaires. You know, there should be no way. And Mark Zuckerberg,
mm-hmm,
taking on record saying that there should be no way people should have that much money. He's giving a lot of it away.
Right, because they're not going to spend it all. What are you going to do, buy a ticket to the moon? First class?
You know that the founder, the creator of Amazon, is so rich that if he were to spend $1 million every day, every single day, that it would take him 400, almost 500 years almost 450 years to spend it all?
Yeah, pretty much. Because there's rich and then there's wealth.
Yeah, there's a lot of money.
And then there's some people who can't even make $1,000, let alone a dollar, in a year. And you wonder why people are coco loco about Amazon. I have $35 in Amazon credit ready to gift it out to somebody just because I'm not going to order from them. I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber. I get 1 day or 2 day shipping on items. I don't need it. You know why I say that? It's because soon enough, we're going to automate shipping. We're going to automate transportation. We're not going to need people to go where we want to go. We're not going to have a workforce. We're not going to have a TV screen.
But, you know, I don't think that it's going to get that bad, man. Because
people are already watching movies on their
computers. Computers aren't perfect. And we're going to need somebody to run the computers.
That's what I'm saying to you. When automation, I don't believe in a total automation, but they're self-driving cars now. Was it there 5-10 years ago? No.
And what are they doing?
The ideal is there.
They're blowing up.
I mean,
batteries are blowing up.
That's true, but also innovation, I believe, is the next wave. It is the next technology, and if people don't invest now, I understand we're socially conditioned to not be investors, to avoid risk, to be safe with our money, but if you take it back to caveman times, you had to bet on wooden sticks that you would take down a fucking mammoth or an elephant. You had to risk something to get something. And now we're not even top of the food chain. We pretty much run the show, produce our own food, and breed other animals that either don't have an intelligence motor or they don't have a conscious. Like, I was watching a little bit. I'll give you a story and then we'll head into the next one. I was watching a little bit of How You Train a Horse, right? Yeah. And if a horse doesn't respect you, what do you think it's going to do?
It's going to buck you up, huh?
Yeah. Or what else? If you haven't got on it. Right. And what I started noticing is you can teach a horse to follow you instead of you running after it. But you have to establish that respect. And what does that have to do with innovation and technology? I really think there's going to be a few people that will control it, and a few million or the majority that will be controlled by it. That's what I mean. So we're either going to be disciplined enough to control our habits for technology, or we're going to be controlled by it. I really do think that. Now, that's my two cents. Now, on to the next thing. Go ahead.
You make a valid point, my friend. You make a valid point.
Well, that's my two cents about that. All right. Now, on to the next context. You wanted to talk about, I don't know if it was social dynamics, but I want you to explain to the audience what you want to talk about.
I guess we can jump right into how to get a girl.
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. To impress a girl, all you have to do is simple. All you have to do is pull up in the whip, have a bankroll in your pocket, and dress nicely. But if she knows you're not an alpha male, then and one suddenly pops in, then you had better watch your back, buddy.
Tell us about that. What is the alpha and the beta? I know you know.
Well, you have. I'm trying to tell you in like.
Give me a second.
Back to the topic at hand. I just wanted to be able to take a quick break for you guys. So if you're listening in your car or on your headphones, now you know that we're going right back into things. And that way you don't just quickly pause and transition back. All right. Thank you.
All right. Tell us about what's the difference between the alpha and a beta? And why do they get girls and the other doesn't?
Well, they both get girls, but the alpha male gets more girls. The beta male, who doesn't want more girls? You know, the alpha will get more.
Okay.
The beta male is in a needy state, is seeking validation. He's coming from a point, from a state of where he needs to be fed. Basically saying like he needs attention, he needs to be, he's not comfortable in his own skin. Versus an alpha male who is grounded in his own skin and okay with you. You have people out here with disabilities and missing like legs and arms, mm-hmm. and you know, veterans come back. You're not gonna call a vet who got his legs blown off a beta male. No, because you know he did what he had to do.
Yeah,
like a man.
Yeah,
and he came back. He's comfortable in his skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
a beta male is more likely to get depression, to be isolated he's not socially conditioned. Like a person who lives in the hood.
Yeah.
Like where I came from, what I learned was that when I was living in the hood, I was seeing the same people all the time. All we did was say what's up to each other. You can walk off the block, go across the street to the store.
Yeah.
You come back, you see the same person, say what's up to them again.
Yeah.
And that proximity.
Yeah.
That closeness makes people. It breeds violence. There's not enough space, and you don't get to see, you don't travel, you don't get to see the parts of the world, the city. You don't even get to go across your own city, let alone travel the world.
Yeah.
And an alpha male, he does alpha things, man. He's like carefree. He's not so serious with himself. You're not going to take a beta male and make him all serious.
Yeah.
And he walk up to a girl and like, hi, what's your name? Okay, that's fine. But then he wants to talk about politics and religion and all this deep stuff because, oh, she looks, guess what? She looked down to earth, man. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could talk, man, you gotta still go through the steps. She's still just a girl. You can't just come off so hard. You gotta have, like,
Give me a step program that you've developed for getting women or getting girls. I don't know how many steps you have, to be honest, and I'm also a listener to you, so let the audience and me know. Inform us.
Okay. Well, there is no cheat sheet. The best marketing is done by telling people that they can stay in their own little bubble. And the best marketers tell people that you don't have to work whatsoever and you don't have to change. But, excuse me, because people don't like to do hard work.
Right.
They like the cheat code.
Right.
But I would say you have to change your perception and your outlook on life.
Right.
That's what you are taking in.
Right.
Then you have to change your attitude. That's what you're putting out. You have to take inventory of your destructive and constructive thoughts.
Okay.
Change your environment. Get around more positive people.
Okay.
And audit your values.
Okay.
And you know what is important to you. Do some real soul searching, man. You got to destroy the ego and shed the scarcity mindset in the beta shell.
Okay. Now, question. If there are too many alphas, what happens?
There's never going to be too many alphas.
Never?
The alpha, yeah. No, the alpha is a rarity. It's, I'm talking to you over the phone, through the podcast, because you're on the other side of America right now. So I can't, you know, you're all the way over there. I'm all the way over here. So, uh-huh. Like, at any given moment,
yeah.
There's always going to be one alpha. Like, wolves, like you told me before, wolves, there's only one leader of the pack, man.
There is.
And yeah. The rest of them follow.
Yeah. And I will say this, to add to your point. You either have wolves in a sheep clothing, or you have sheep. There is no wolf pack. The reason I say that is because a lot of people either follow or they follow you, and the moment you show any weakness, the wolf comes out and eats you. That's how I think. So if you're the absolute dominant alpha, like, have you ever seen what wolves do when they initiate each other into a pack? This is another one of my dialogues. Alright, so I was watching this a couple years ago. They will go up to you and hold their mouth at your neck. If you don't expose any sort of weakness, they won't kill you or bite. If you're afraid to do it, they'll kill you.
Whoa.
That's tough, right?
I had no idea that wolves did that.
They do. They will come up and put their mouth to your neck and hold you. If you show fear, they will bite. But if you're one of the pack, what's there to fear, right? But fear
exactly,
itself, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And if an alpha male pops up,
yeah.
You better watch your back, buddy. You better watch your back. Because
yeah.
He's not artificial. He is natural.
Okay.
And so you will not be able to keep her. You don't need a high degree or a fancy car or a million dollars. You just need to believe in yourself and exude high status energy.
How does one obtain that kind of energy? Or how does one, I don't want to say obtain because that means I'm taking. How does one create? And I know there's some people out there are going to say, energy's not created. It's only given and taken. It's transferred. No, I'm just saying, how does one create that kind of energy or confidence or overall dominance? In themselves.
It gotta come from within. It's no one's born with it.
Right.
I was born tall, dark, and handsome, but I still had to learn that I grew up the man of the house. I didn't have to, I still had to go out and find mentors.
Right.
And find teachers.
Right.
I told this girl one day, I said, so, is this your first time having to talk to a man? Having to fight? Is this your first time getting into a fight? And she was like, what? I was like, is this your first time having to work to talk to a man? Because, you know, guys, when they talk to a girl, you gotta be like, what am I gonna say next?
Right.
What happens after she tells me this? Look, always on his toes, walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
He's not even listening to what she has to say.
Yeah.
He's just ready to blurt out some stuff so he can get to the next step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, is this your first time getting in a fight? Is this your first time talking to a man? Having to work to talk to a man? Because most of the guys I see around here act more like animals. And she started laughing. I said, yeah. And I broke it down to her, man. I said,
yeah,
back in the day, we worshipped big dogs.
Right.
And cats. And cat heads, cat heads,
mm-hmm.
and
birds and trees and worshiping. But I learned from students, teachers, former students, the best of monks, and people like Tyler off of RSD, Real Social Dynamics, YouTube. We haven't. You gotta get up on that.
Okay.
And I want everything I do to be an instruction manual for success. And any man who has devoted as much time to this topic as I have has to, by necessity, create insight unto it of value to others.
So,
Talk about passion, man. I want to tell you something about passion. I really don't want to get it out of my chest.
All right, go for it. I'm not holding you, and you will have a chance to ask me questions as well. All right, go for it.
Okay. It will help you to lift your passion and find your purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
Your purposes or your purpose in life. I know it would be cool for me to sit up here and tell you, you know, hey, I'm tall, dark, and handsome. Most likely to succeed,
yeah.
All American,
yeah.
And here's the secret to what girls like. But you need to truly list those things along with your goals, because women do not want to win; they want to be with a winner. So as long as you're comfortable with your own skin and you're happy with yourself and satisfied that you're successful, then she will be with you. As long as you're basically attracted to yourself,
yeah,
she will be attracted to you. Because it don't matter how much you're attracted to her, she's getting 500 likes on Instagram
already. Right.
How are you going to compete with a girl who's getting 500 likes on Instagram?
Well, that's a good question for the audience.
Like it, you're just another average plain Jane, average Joe walking around liking her pics. That's the reason why she's putting the pics up, because she's getting validation.
Right.
See, the alpha don't got your girl. Instagram got your girl.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Or somebody's in your DM or something.
Yeah, she's getting all the validation she needs from life. She, you know.
Do you feel like social media has replaced that? Guys, and I know you're passionate about talking about that. So tell me why. Why is the guy no longer needed to validate that a woman is a woman?
She may think the guy is no longer needed. That's what it is. It's like all these extreme feminists.
Yeah.
Women don't really want that much power, man.
Yeah.
They want it so that they can. It's just an added bonus to be respected. They don't really need respect, but they want respect, because women are natural followers. They're natural in the herd. Men are supposed to lead. Women are supposed to follow. How would it look for a man to be living in his mother's basement, listening to his sisters all the time, and following his girlfriend around? Men just... I was in the store the other day. This Hebrew Israelite was like, talking to a guy, he said, walk in front of your own wife like a man. Lead her like a man. And back in the day, it's funny, right? Back in the day, a woman used to be like covered up more. She was more sacred, man. But today, women no longer need a man. Women need a man like a wise man once said, women need a man like a fish need a bicycle. Women no longer need to be subtle.
Yeah.
They no longer need to be a nuance.
They no longer need to have the...
This is out here as ratchet and carrying on.
Yeah.
Because they don't... It's like they don't got no shame no more, man. They're not a nuance.
Well, can we you know, classify that to American women, or is that every woman?
I have not been out of America, man.
American
women? Out of my jurisdiction.
All right, well, let's call it American then, because I know some women foreign that are very submissive, that are very like motherly, and they need that male counterpart to validate that they are a woman outside of the U.S. Inside the U.S., I probably had to leave where I live just because I wasn't getting, not necessarily no play, I wasn't getting where I wanted to be as a man. And I would meet potential women. Potential. You know what potential means. As a guy.
Yeah, I guess.
You smell it. You read it. You hear it. You're like, damn, she's my type. You don't even think twice about it. You don't.
Yeah.
And guys don't have that. I don't want to call us simple-minded, but we're not thinking about how the kid is going to turn out. Whether or not that person
male,
can be a...
Beta males...
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Beta males have more potential mates than alpha males. Alpha males have their pick of girls, but beta males just take it where they can get it, and they're so needy, they're not being choosy. They're saying like, oh, I'm in love this day. I like this girl this day. I like her the next day. They're always with the women. They're not looking for... They're looking for the perfect one, but they're never going to find a perfect one because they're not being the best version of themselves to be loved. You have to love yourself before you can be loved.
Okay.
You got to be it. In order, the best advice I ever got in my life was to be myself. But it's impossible to be yourself if you don't love yourself. And you can't, basically... You can't love yourself if you're not being yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to feel like you're being taken out of your element, out of your environment all the time.
Right.
And one of the things that I want to help you do is learn how to attract the high-quality people into your life that you are after, as well as become the best version of yourself by shedding the beta skin and the scarcity mindset.
How do you shed that? For our listeners, how do you become that?
To do this, you must focus on what you want out of life. Let me say it right. To do this, you must not focus on what you want out of life, but rather focus on what life wants out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You must be like the sun. You must be a giver.
Mm-hmm.
Just give what you have to give. Add value to the environment. Instead of wanting to laugh all the time, be the one who tells the joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could go on and on about this, man. I'm writing a book about this, actually.
What is your book gonna be called
it
for our viewers? Where can we find you if we lose this podcast and all goes to dust? Where can we find you?
I'm still working on the title, but when it comes out, you'll be the first to know, Jared.
All right, I appreciate that.
And it encapsulates both a lecture and a pep talk. It's written by man.
So question, what do you think about, and this is not to shout down on Steve Harvey or anybody he's associated with. Think Like a Man for Women. What do you think about that book or the movies? Think Like a Man by Steve Harvey.
Man, it's just entertainment to me. It's just entertainment because...
But there are people who are taking it literally. Like, literal. To letter. They're like, oh, this is how men think.
You talking about the movie with Taraji P. Henson?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, Taraji's in there. Yeah, that movie. Think Like a Man and then Think Like a Man Too. Yep, she's in there.
I like it, man.
I want women to know how men think, but we know we can't think the same way. Because I'll say this, and then we can end the podcast if you like.
How do you feel about it, Dad? How do you feel about it?
I'll say this. My thoughts on it was, I'm glad Steve Harvey was able to talk and have that discussion, because there's a societal gap in how men and women think, and not because women are not housewives anymore or men are not at home as often, but because our generation went through what? Y2K, internet, desocializing through mobile phones and texting, and also not being able to just go up to a woman and talk. You got to have a Tinder profile, a Facebook. He has to be existing. Like, I had a chick like me and then ask me, what is your Facebook? I want to see your face before I even see you. And I was like, damn. She doesn't even want to come and meet me in person. Like, you have to be a verified person.
You got to be relevant. Yeah, I asked him the other day. I said, you never listened to me. She's the third girl who told me that today. I said, okay, so how do you stay relevant in the world? Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, right? I'm like, you know, everybody got an Instagram or a Facebook. How do you even stay relevant? Because it takes up so much of a person's life. It does. And my thing to it is this: if you're gonna stay relevant,
is the social media going to be a tool for you, or is it going to be costing you income? Because there's a lot of people making money from social media, but the majority of people are spending time that could be converted into money. And I mean a lot. A lot. Like, I even caught myself one time being on Instagram for like 4 hours watching videos on the roll. You know how it is. You've seen it. People glued to their phone. And I was like, dude, Jared, go to bed. Get a life. Go to sleep. Do something productive with your life. If you're not helping somebody else, who are you helping?
That brings me, I just thought of something.
Go ahead.
Okay, lastly, you need to overhaul many things to get to where you want to be. Not get a cheat sheet. If you are listening to Jared's podcast right now, I'm guessing you are checking out many more. The problem is, a lot of people are addicted to their own substance. You may be addicted to motivational videos because they pump you up for a little while. But maybe you just catch them when you can, 2 or 3 times a week. You cannot, and I repeat, you cannot look. This is about you. This is your time. You cannot spend your weekends juicing up on inspiration. Look at what it did to the money-hungry church. You need action over intellect.
That is awesome, man. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. And
thank you, man. It's my pleasure.
And do you have any questions for me as your interviewer at all?
When are you putting up your new video?
I always post after I'm done. I edit out a few things here and there, pauses, whatever sounds redundant, I'll probably cut. Cause I don't like
people to hear.
Go ahead.
Do you do all your work by yourself?
Yeah, editing and videos is what I started doing. Remember I told you I started YouTube? And I would record it from the camera, edit it, and then post it on YouTube. So I learned the whole process, but I started when I was in 8th grade and 7th grade when they had Windows Movie Maker and you had to learn how to record over stuff and use a microphone.
You took it back, man.
Yeah, so I learned it then.
And I was just ever fascinated. But there's people who call themselves movie makers that are amateurs. And then there's people that have been doing it for a while. So for me, I'm about 15 years in the game. So I mastered it. You know, and I want to say this for the viewers if they ever want to hear it. You have to spend anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 years at something that you're passionate about to get really dialed in and understand the ins and outs of it. Because you can't give value to people if you've done something for only 2 to 5 years, let alone even a year. Because talent is good, but consistent action and hard work is what brings money. And you have to do that over time. And a lot of people now in our society or in our generation are just used to, I'm going to be a millionaire before I'm 30, but they don't have a millionaire skill.
Yeah, and then when they become a millionaire,
they lose it.
You got millionaire problems. If you can't handle $1,000 problem, how are you going to handle $1 million problem?
Yeah.
How are you going to be a CEO when you got over a million dollar company, and now you got $1 million problem where you couldn't even handle being a thousandaire? You couldn't handle a couple $100.
That is a very true statement. All right, I'm going to end the podcast here. I think we got a lot more topics to talk about, and I'd love to have you again on the show.
I'd love to be back.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening, and please subscribe, share, or donate. Even one quarter goes a long way towards the production of our podcast. Thank you.